Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, welcome back in. We are live here at Smoke On. The Water Diesel's back there trying to connect with our buddy Gary McDaniel from ClemsonSportsNews.com. And, of course, we'll catch you up on what's taking place over in Tigertown today. Is the team's got a very important week off. I think when you look at where they are mentally right now, you know, almost coming off that performance at Wake Forest, you wish that they could get right back out there and get going. But I think when you look at the Kelly Bryant situation that happened a couple of weeks ago, and then you add on to that C.J. Fuller's untimely passing last week, and, you know, a lot of guys on that team have fought a lot of emotions in different ways. So as good as they played against Wake Forest, I think it's almost a it's a good time for them to get to go home. You know, they were doing a service project in the area today. They don't announce what they're doing until after it's done because they don't want the media attention and everything else. So they'll get back to practice here tomorrow and Thursday. And then, of course, they get Friday through Friday, Saturday, and Sunday off. And, of course, I think it's coming at a good time. Let's go to the guest line. It's our buddy Gary McDaniel with ClemsonSportsNews.com. Free website. Of course, you can follow them on Twitter at Clem Sports News. And Gary, agree or disagree, you play that, you play your best game, your cleanest game in of the year in a long, long time. You still want to keep playing, but I feel like this was a good time for this team to get a break because of what they dealt with in losing not one but two teammates, one to a transfer and a former teammate to a death in C.J. Fuller.
Yeah, it couldn't have come at a better time. Just even without those events, those tragic, the tragic loss of C.J. Fuller and, you know, the dynamic loss of Kelly Bryant happening, you still had, you know, the midway point of the season. It was a perfect time right here in the middle point of the season, halfway through, to give these guys time off. And I just got back from the community event down in Clemson. We were there covering it. We're uploading video right now from the event to the website. But it was quite a scene down there just now at the Poe Indoor facility.
Well, you know, it seems like a lot of smiles there in the locker room on Saturday. You get your most complete game. Of course, you know, Trevor Lawrence has his best game as a starter, completing 20 of 25. But I keep coming back. You know, everybody's a genius at the bar on Saturday night as an offensive coordinator. You know what I mean? And going, see, I told you, you should have been running ETN all along. Well, he gets 10 carries, as Adam Choice does, as Lynn J. Dixon does. They all go over 100 yards. But to me, it's doing what the defense allows you to do. You can't walk safeties up like you could 3 weeks ago, and that's why there's some of these gaping holes that the running backs are running through.
Oh, it's the Trevor Lawrence factor. The fact is you've got a quarterback that can now affect the middle of the field like no other quarterback that I can remember in Clemson football in recent memory. I mean, you go back to the most prolific passer in recent memory, you got to think Taj Boyd. But his balls were always the big deep balls. He wasn't one of those guys that affected the middle of the field right there between the safeties and the linebackers. And if you'll notice, a lot of Lawrence's balls are right down the middle of the seam. Go back to the first throw of the game against Georgia Southern. Against Syracuse, the first throw against Syracuse is right down the middle of the seam. And he opens up with that again in Wake Forest. That makes you have to play honest and play two deep safeties. And when you do that, you pull a guy out of the box and they're looking to the sidelines. Clemson's screen game is something else that you have to realize is having a big effect on people. If you'll watch the tape of that game, the first ETN touchdown run, you'll see the safeties bolting for the sidelines, looking for the screen pass. And it left the middle of the field wide open. He clearly the linebacker level. There was no one there. So they're worried about getting out there to cover those screens. They're worried about the middle of the field.
And that's the thing I noticed on Saturday. Now, you know, you're talking about a Wake Forest team that gave up 56 at home to Notre Dame that's been sliced and diced already. But they had guys more worried about where to get on the field defensively after the snap than they were following where the football was going. Multiple times I saw a linebacker turn his back to the play and go run to a certain position on the field. And you know what? If that's the way you're going to attack things defensively, Clemson's going to eat your lunch all day long.
It's eye discipline. You hear Coach Venables talk mm-hmm. about it on the Clemson side of football all the time about, you know, coach, you know, believe what you see. And what you saw, and I saw the same thing you did, Mark. I saw players with their backs turned to the play, running to parts of the field, thinking that they had, you know, had already guessed what the play was going to be. I guess the formations had fooled them. Clemson must have broke tendency on them. That's what that tells me, is that Clemson went and self-scouted themselves and broke tendency on some plays to make people to fool them, and it worked. You got to remember the Wake guys also started with a new defensive coordinator, so I'm pretty sure the game plan they had to come up with for Clemson was a quick one. But when you have that many weapons, you know, a lot, you know, to your advantage, there's so much you can do with it, and there's so many ways you have to worry about defending it. So, I mean, Clemson's got a bag of knives rolling down the field right now.
So let me ask you, as we continue with Gary McDaniel, ClemsonSportsNews.com. Follow them on Twitter, @ClemSportsNews. It's a free website. They cover everything, including recruiting. But, Gary, you really got your first chance for y'all to sit down with Trevor Lawrence yesterday. That was his first time since being named the starter. Why? Because, he was in concussion protocol after the Syracuse game. What did you think? I mean, I haven't seen, you know, he's a very laid-back guy. I was very impressed with what he had to say about Kelly Bryant, and it's obvious that they continue to be in touch with each other, even to today as friends as much as anything else. But, yeah, I would have loved to have been there just to kind of get my see what he did in my own eyeball test in meeting with the media like that. But what were your first thoughts?
Very, very laid back demeanor is Trevor's trait, and you know, as he's known for being Mr. Laid Back. But the way he dealt with everything yesterday, it was like a veteran. You think this is this is a kid that went through the recruiting process under scrutiny and had spoke to the media and press a lot. So it's something he was used to coming in. So he just walked in and sat down, and the question started being asked about Kelly. He spoke about his relationship with Kelly, how they still keep in contact on the phone. And then he actually said at one point, you know, that's all I want to say about that. Let's move on, because we need to just move on. It's time for us to move on. So he mature, beyond his years, I would think, the way he held himself up yesterday at that press conference. And, he just seems, you know, because Coach talks about unrattled, unfazed. That's this kid. Anyway, there's no – nothing that surprises him. You can't throw a question at him so far that makes his eyebrows raise. But he seems to have his mature way about himself.
So let me ask you now, again, the kids get to go home this weekend and get mom's cooking, get a little bit loved up. But they know just as well as anybody else the following weekend, it's not only homecoming in Clemson, but it's an NC State team that's undefeated, 5-0. This may be the battle for the Atlantic Division right here and there. And it's an NC State team that, quite frankly, has played Clemson as tough as anybody the last 3 years. So, yeah, you remember Laptop Gate last year. How do you think Clemson approaches this game on Saturday, other than the fact it's a week from Saturday, other than it's just the next one on the schedule?
Well, you know, if you ask Dabo Swinney, you're going to get exactly that. Biggest game of the year, next one up, biggest game of the year, division game, one of their goals. But, Clemson, they're preparing for an NC State team that's prolific offensively with a great pro prospect at quarterback at Ryan Finley, the guy that's going to go in the first two rounds of the draft without a doubt, and a team that has come in. Again, like you said, the last 3 years, played Clemson almost better and deservedly on a couple of occasions should have won the football game and walked out with a bitter taste in their mouth. They're going to come in to Clemson, who has designated this game as homecoming, by the way, and are going to be looking with a huge chip on their shoulder to take Clemson out. And they're very capable of doing it. Their defensive line was the big question mark coming in because it had such big losses going to the NFL, but they've seemed to replace that line with no problem so far this year and have gotten results out of them. Now, there has been some teams that have been able to score on NC State, and NC State's been known so far this year to shoot themselves in the foot on a couple of occasions when they could have taken games and put them away. Dave Dorn prepares his football team well. He has upped the recruiting level at NC State over the last few years to a point where they are the team to beat in North Carolina. Everyone looks up to them now, and that's exactly what he planned to do when he got there. It seems to be having an effect. Now, finally, there's someone in the Atlantic side division other than Clemson and Florida State that's challenging every year.
I'm right there with you on that one. All right, we begin closing up shop with our good friend Gary McDaniel from ClemsonSportsNews.com. Follow them on Twitter at ClemSportsNews. You guys will be getting up to the reserve tomorrow at Lake Kiawe. Coach Brad Burnell having basketball media day. This is a exciting year for Clemson. Most preseason polls, I've seen them ranked anywhere from number 13 to number 18 in the country, but really right in there. And they got Marquise Reed, Shelton Mitchell, Elijah Thomas, and a whole lot of other players returning for Brad Burnell.
Yeah, I mentioned David Scarras coming back too. That was a key piece. We got the word he was coming back, a great fill-in reserve guy. But, yeah, we'll be at the reserve tomorrow. With Coach Brownell, we're actually going to be trying to swing the wrenches if the rain allows us to. We'll go out there and try to play a little golf, but we're going to be talking to Coach Brownell and the assistants and get all the lowdown on this year's team here as we roll into the basketball season, which is really quickly approaching, folks. But, with that lineup returning back, the experience in the backcourt, Clemson having some continuity for the first time in a few years without losing so much to either to the NBA draft or to early – or to transfers, to get down to a lot of transfers in the last few years over the Tigers basketball program. But looking for basketball this year to take a turn to the upside and finish in that upper tier of the ACC. I would say within, ACC, we're to ACC meetings coming up in about a week and a half. We'll be there. And, we're looking for the Tigers to be somewhere in the ACC media, probably voting them in the middle of the pack of the league. A 20-25 win basketball team would not be far-fetched if this team puts it all together this year, I think.
All right. Next week, homecoming on campus, everybody knows what all goes along with that, Tigerama and everything else. But do you get a weekend off? Because it seems like nothing is stopping when it comes to covering Clemson athletics right now.
Well, We officially have the Saturday off, no football to cover, so that will be a chance for us to sit back for a first Saturday and kind of catch a breath. But we're going to be putting out some articles and stuff, and midway point things that have been going that we've seen culminate up to this point of the year, some pros and some cons. Give a couple few grades out on what we've seen as far as the offense and the defense. Talk about the freshman newcomers and what they brought to the team, but. It's a week off for Clemson football, but, it's always with ClemsonSportsNews.com. It's 365, 24/7 for us on Clemson News.
All right, before I let you go, we're at the halfway point, the halfway poll. Coach Swinney likes to divide the seasons up into quarters, if you will. You look back over the first half of the season, which one team has been the biggest disappointment to you so far?
Over the college football spectrum?
Yep.
Oh, wow. Well, let me think about that one. I would say Wisconsin.
Yeah, because, they had, all five starters returning on the offensive line, Hornibrook coming back at quarterback, and Taylor at running back, yet you lose to BYU
at home. About top four team. People were projecting them Big Ten champions to be in the playoffs, there you go. They got taken out pretty early in the year. So, right now Wisconsin, and if you want to look at a program, not just that, one that had high expectations, but the most underachieving bunch I've seen this year, UCLA.
Absolutely. I'm not going to argue with that. And I will actually, because when I come back, Gary, I've got Auburn to throw in the mix as well. But, again, thanks for everything you do, covering Coach Sweeney's press conferences and hopping on with us on Tuesday. And, again, everybody can find out all your work and everything y'all do. It's free at ClemsonSportsNews.com.
Thanks, Mark. You guys have a great day. And as always, everybody take listen to Sturge when he's on the radio. He knows what he's doing.
All right, thank you much, bud. All right, we'll talk to you next week. There's Gary McDaniel, and again, their website's free, therefore it's for me. But we've been talking about winners so far. We've been talking about losers. But 4-2 isn't a terrible record, but could Auburn be put in the camp of biggest losers through the first half of the college football season? We'll also switch to the winners as well. We love your opinion. 844-GSP, ESPN, straight up with Sturge. We're live on the ground. It's Smoke on the Water. We're at the halfway point of the college football season. Who's your winners? Who's your losers? Some of our losers have been the Florida Atlantic Owls. Why? Lane Kiffin, the hot prospect. It's one thing to lose to Oklahoma on the road, to UCF on the road, but they blew an 18-point lead against Middle Tennessee. They're only 3-3. Of course, Nebraska, UCLA, they're 0-5. We mentioned the Louisville Cardinals at 2-4. You can even throw Florida State in the mix. But, Diesel, can you have a winning record at 4-2 at the halfway point and be a loser when it comes to the college football season?
Explain to me how that works, Sturge.
All right. Most people will go, Sturge, you're bouncing on your rival. But, listen, Auburn has put a lot of money into their football program. Auburn has put a lot of money into their football coach and Gus Malzahn. But what are you getting for it right now? You had Jarrett Stidham come in and transfer as quarterback from Baylor for a few years ago, and right now he can't get anything done. You got a run. You got an offense that's run first, pass second. Auburn's run first offense ranks 82nd nationally in yards per carry, and if you take out their blowout win against an FBS opponent, it plummets to 116th. Jarrett Stidham could come back for another year, but his lack of progress, I kind of wonder why he would at this point, because he has issues getting the ball in the right place. It doesn't necessarily make me think he's ready to go jump from Auburn to the NFL, but Auburn's not going to get anything done there until their run game becomes effective. Now, that also means don't fumble at the goal line and make the official have to decide when that ball goes through the end zone or whatnot, was it a touchdown or what? Because, again, that cost them last week. But think about this, Diesel, at 4-2, and they were sailing at one point. The November slate for the Auburn Tigers includes Texas A&M, Georgia, and Alabama.
Brutal. Brutal month on the schedule.
So, I mean, we're talking a team that, you know, some thought might be 10-2, might be looking at 7-5 or 8-4. And is that going to do it for Gus Malzahn? Is that going to be happy? Is that going to do it enough there on the plains? They think very highly of themselves, but my question is, do you just wait it out? Do you just wait it out? And by that, I mean what Nick Saban's doing at Alabama. You know, I think that is the entire reason that Ed Orgeron was hired at LSU. He was the fallback candidate. Once they could not get Jimbo Fisher to come over, it was like, well, let's go with Ed Orgeron. We won't pay him as much as other coaches are making. If we get lightning in a bottle, great. If not, we're going to try to wait out Nick Saban until we can go after another head coach. And you know what? LSU was one of the teams of September, but when October took over, they go throw a dismal performance on the road at Florida. And, again, but I keep going back to Auburn and what they're going to do. They're putting all this money into their facilities there, a lot of different things. And if they turn around this year and go 7-5 a year after playing in the Peach Bowl and losing to UCF, again, it's not always what you're doing. It seems like in this day and age of social media that people are more worried about what their rival's doing than what their own team is. And is that for the look-in-the-mirror syndrome, Deez? When you look back at yourself in the mirror, hey, maybe my team's not doing that great, but at least I know my rival's doing worse. So
we all have such a – we have a love of schadenfreude in this country, Sturge. You want things to go badly. Yeah. If things aren't going great for you, you want them to go worse for someone else.
Yep. All right. With losers, there must be winners as well. And it tastes like, I want to say, it tastes like vitriol, salt, vinegar, every other thing that you could throw in there. But would you not have to admit that the Ohio State Buckeyes are one of the biggest winners of the first half of the season, Diesel? I mean, you think about all
I know that it ups
that
you.
It
upsets you to
on.
Say that, Sturge. I know that because you so badly wanted Ohio State to fall on their face. I get it. You don't want the players to have a bad season because they didn't ask for any of this. They're not involved with any of this. But you still wished ill on Ohio State.
I absolutely did, and I hope football karma catches up to them, but I also call it like I see it. And they're one of the biggest winners of the first half, and the fact that they had an interim head coach really guide them well through the troubled waters of Urban Meyer's suspension. Dwayne Haskins, his development at quarterback has brought a new level of effectiveness to the Buckeye scoring attack. They look to be playing for each other. One of the things I was more impressed with in that win versus TCU as anything is the way their wide receivers were blocking downfield. So you got a lot, you know, for as bad of things that Urban has put this program through, the players themselves, they've handled everything that they possibly could do. And listen, Dwayne Haskins has been the difference. The sophomore leads the country in touchdowns, holds the top 10 ranks in completion percentage, yards per pass, as well as passer rating. So as long as he's healthy, I don't think Ohio State's going to go anywhere. And all that drama that they dealt with earlier may very well have brought them closer together, and you know special things can happen when that's the case. So, again, I think you have to put Ohio State in the mix as one of the biggest winners of the first half of the season, just like what we said about a team just a few minutes ago. You have to put the Florida Gators in there as well, because one of the earliest candidates or best candidates so far for best immediate hire has to go to Dan Mullen and the University of Florida. Now, it's funny how the perspective can change. A few weeks ago, they were mourning their 31-game continuous winning streak over the University of Kentucky. It was gone, but guess what? I was more impressed with how the Gators answered. They go on the road, and they blow out Tennessee. I'm talking any hopes Tennessee had was over in the second quarter. People started exiting Neyland Stadium. And then they back it up the following week in a grudge match. Dan Mullen left Mississippi State to go to Gainesville. They wanted a piece of him when he came back. They said it was a lateral move. Well, he gets that win. And then here comes an undefeated number 5 LSU team rolling into Gainesville this past weekend, and all Florida did was beat them as well. So, you know, one of the best, literally one of the best resumes right now when it comes to wins comes out of Gainesville, Florida. And listen, that has been a rapid turnaround for Dan Mullen, and that's why we always said he was one of the best hires of this offseason. So, and think about these, how fast things can change on perspective. 3-4 weeks ago, we're making the case that South Carolina fans should feel fortunate that Will Muschamp has delivered more than what Tom Herman has delivered in Austin, Texas for the Longhorns. Now you got to look at them at the halfway point. Is Texas a winner or a loser? Well, I tell you what, we'll come back. We'll talk about that at 844-GSP-ESPN. We've got a few more winners, and then some of the strangest things that took place in college football last weekend. We'd love to hear your opinion. 844-GSP-ESPN. Don't forget, you can follow us on Twitter at ESPN Upstate, me at Sturgis Sports, Diesel at Diesel on Radio, and at ESPNUpstate.com. Make sure you download the radio.com app. And Diesel, I've got to ask you a favor on the way out to break. Can you give us our 6 p.m. keyword? Because my sheet disappeared. All right, welcome back. We are live at Smoke on the Water here in downtown Greenville. We're closing up shop. Two more segments of Open Phones, 844-GSP-ESPN. What are your thoughts on Will Muschamp meeting with the media earlier today? He says Jacob Bentley will be your starter on Saturday if healthy enough. Said the experience swings the needle in Bentley's favor. Now, of course, we play offensive coordinator here on Straight Up with Sturge. We play head coach at the bar. I'm of the opinion I would ride Scar. You know, you got two losses on the year. Can't get where you wanted to go, which was win an SEC East title. That's now off the board. I'd ride Skarnecki as long as I possibly could and then have to replace him with Jacob Bentley at some point down the line. That's exactly what I do. Plus, I put in some packages for DeCarrion Joyner. But, again, we'll talk more about that tomorrow with our buddy J.C. Sherbert from the Big Spur. We're set to talk with him at 5:20 tomorrow afternoon, but we'll take your opinions at 844-GSP-ESPN. Well, I'll let y'all know we've been talking about winners and losers at the halfway point of the college football season. Some of our losers we got started off with include the Auburn Tigers, the Florida Atlantic Isles, the Nebraska Cornhuskers, UCLA Bruins, the Louisville Cardinals, the Florida State Seminoles. Some of our winners have been so far Ohio State and Florida. But, Diesel, I think you can't put this list together without two teams. One, the Texas Longhorns, because, you know, there was a group that we were ready to annihilate. They got off to a rough loss to open the season at Maryland, a team that didn't even have a head coach, if you will, at that point. But since that time, Texas has gotten off the turf, and they have beaten three good teams in a row. You know, of their last four wins, three came against good teams. Of course, Southern Cal at home, where they went on to a 30-14 win, and then they surged ahead late against TCU at home. Then they went on the road and knocked off Kansas State. And then they went to Dallas, a neutral site game last week, and knocked off rival Oklahoma. So at 3-0 in Big 12 action, 5-1 on the year, Texas has solidified itself as a conference championship threat, no doubt, and depending on how many undefeated teams there are at the end of the year, they could find themselves in the championship talk, but still a ways to go. The other one that you have to put in this mix is Notre Dame. You know, we had questions, could they get out of Virginia Tech Saturday night? Well, we didn't know what to think, and this was one of those years that has been bolstered by making a bold quarterback move. Notre Dame hadn't scored more than 24 points in any of the first three contests, yet all three of them were wins. And that included the one over Michigan. Well, since switching to Ian Book at quarterback, the Irish have averaged nearly 46 points per game, and they've earned wins over Stanford and Virginia Tech. Now, Ian Book has accounted for 11 touchdowns, and there was a lot of rumor out there earlier today. If you were paying attention, Ian Book maybe had some questionable issues when it came to studies at Notre Dame, that he was a little bit behind the eight ball, if you will, and apparently that is not the case. But, you know, Notre Dame's going to be a favorite in the majority or in all their games moving forward. Now, it's a road-heavy schedule, but it's a schedule nonetheless in which they're going to be favored in every single game. Another winner is in Diesel. I'd rather you comment on it, but yeah, I tried to throw out some compliments to other schools, but do you have to say the Alabama offense? Because it's been unfair at times how well Tua Tagovailoa has played so far. You know, a 75.2% completion percentage, 18 touchdowns, two running. So Tua is combined for 20 touchdowns, no interceptions, no fumbles. I mean, that's the closest game they played was a 22-point win over Texas A&M. That's the only game that they haven't put 50 or more on the board. They put 45 up that game. They put more than 60 on the board twice this year. I mean, how many times have I had friends of mine or colleagues of mine in the past go, good Lord, if Alabama ever had a defensive if Alabama ever had a decent to good offense, it'd be amazing what they might be able to accomplish. Well, it looks like they finally found that offense, and its name was Tua Tagovailoa. And what he has done. So I think they have to be considered a winner in the front side of the season. And then, you know, Diesel, you love your group of five. We'll be getting together later on to watch the second half of App State at Arkansas State. But you got to give a lot of credit to the American Athletic Conference. Now, they got some big games coming up. And the American Athletic Conference this year is about more than just the Central Florida Golden Knights. Right now, you have a Cincinnati team that is 6-0. They have now entered the rankings. You also have another team in South Florida with Charlie Strong as head coach that is now 5-0. Oh, by the way, for good measure, Houston holds a 4-1 record and one of the best players in the country. And this weekend, you know, Memphis is kind of the afterthought in all of this. But, you know, they're going to play Central Florida and probably give them a hard time this weekend. So, you know, I don't think it's time to start declaring, let's go expand the playoffs and make it the Power Six conferences just yet. But I think the American Athletic Conference has proved that they are nipping on the heels of some other leagues at this point. So, again, the American Athletic Conference would be a winner. And then, of course, Colorado, you got to put them in the mix. I like Coach McIntyre. I like Boulder. I like everything else. But I would think that they are far from finishing out the season undefeated. They're off to the 5-0 start. That's their best start in some time. So, therefore, even though Mike McIntyre has had success, you can now scratch his name off any hot seat list. But again, you know, it's offensive that they've done. They have discovered a gem in Laviska Shenault. He already has in five games this year. 51 catches, 708 yards, and 6 touchdowns. And listen, that's going to make Steven Montez a better quarterback any day of the week. The road schedule is about to be a lot tougher, but there's a lot to like about Colorado. I just think at this point that the Pac-12 and the Big 12 may be in a little bit of trouble when it comes to placing teams in the college football playoff. The Big 12, nobody left undefeated. At this point, minus West Virginia, they're going to have to roll through at number 6. Texas would be the next best option, and that would be a one-loss Texas team. So, again, you know, we'll see. I also think the Pac-12, I mean, if Colorado makes it through undefeated, there's something to be said for that. But Washington, they've seen their their stuff disappeared. That was a good close loss to Auburn, but Auburn turned around and losing two games, including that game to Mississippi State. That does the Washington Huskies no good whatsoever. So we'll come back. We'll close up shop. We'll tell you about Wednesday's show. Be live here at Smoke on the Water. Thursday, told our sponsor here, we're going to keep that one a little bit up in the air, whether we'll be here at Smoke on the Water or we will be back in studio. I think we're going to let Mother Nature decide that a little bit. So, again, just pay attention as Hurricane Michael now up to a Category 3, 120-mile-an-hour sustained winds. It is moving fast, but it does look like it will move through the state of South Carolina here in a couple of days. So we'll come back to Smoke on the Water. We'll close up shop. And if you want to get in with us, 844-GSP-ESPN. One of the strangest things that I've seen in a college football game took place this past weekend. Remember, you got about 10 minutes to get this 6 p.m. keyword in. That's PAC. You can text that into 72881. Text PAC, P-A-C-K, into 72881. You'll go in a pool to win $1,000 free and clear in the WeFixMoney.com free cash stash contest. Remember, if you need emergency cash, check out WeFixMoney.com. All right, Diesel, I don't often do this, but tomorrow is a pink day for me. And it is one of the days is real men wear pink that I have to put something pink on. But I want to ask our listeners if they don't mind. You can go to my Twitter account. I put a tweet up at the beginning of the show. I'm raising money for the American Cancer Society and breast cancer in honor of my wife, Teresa. She is a two-time breast cancer survivor. She is better than me. She is better than Diesel. She is better than me and Diesel rolled up into one. But, again, any amount, $5, $10, $20, whatever, I have decided that I will benefit the American, you know, breast cancer by $2,500. That's what my goal is. So if you care to and you want to make a difference, go to at Sturgis Sports on Twitter. You can click the link there in that tweet, and it will take you to my page, and you can make a donation. Because I just wanted to let you know, did you know 41,000 South Carolinians will be diagnosed with breast cancer in 2018 alone? Diesel, that's a lot of people. That's a lot of South Carolinians battling something that hopefully we can find a cure for. Now, the best part about breast cancer is if it's isolated and it hasn't gotten its way into the body, just remove the breast. But that brings an entire separate set of issues coming up with a woman. So there's nothing easy about it. Help us raise money. Help us find a cure. And again, you can go to my Twitter page, at Sturgis Sports. Look for the tweet. I'd appreciate anything, $5, $10, $15. But this much, I promise you, when all is said and done, we will be making a $2,500 donation. So thank you for anything that you might be able to help us accomplish. And we got till the end of the month. And we'll remind you, we're about one-fourth of the way there right now. All right, the final thing when it comes to a business end to remind you of, ESPNUpstate.com is where you can go get tickets for your Greenville Swamp Rabbits season opener on Friday night. You can hear the action right here on ESPN Upstate. But, again, pretty big doings down there at Bon Secours Wellness Arena is we are going to try to set a record when it comes to an ECHL opening night. And, of course, Greenville's going to be taking on the Toledo Walleye that captured over 50 wins last year. All right, Diesel, a couple of last things before we get out of here that I wouldn't have believed if I hadn't seen it with my own eye. Last week, 13th ranked Kentucky made their way out to Texas A&M, where they fell 20-14 in overtime. So even though that's a tough loss for Kentucky, I think they went out there and they acquitted themselves well. You know what I mean? Texas A&M, you made it to overtime. Here is the unbelievable part of that game on Saturday, and tell me if you could think this was even possible. The first play that Kentucky ran in Texas A&M territory on the offensive side of the ball was the first play they had in overtime. Now, again, stop and think about that for a moment. The first play that the Kentucky offense ran on the Texas A&M side of the field was their opening play of overtime.
Unbelievable stat.
They're tied 14-14 going to overtime. It took a 54-yard touchdown pass and a defensive score to get those 14 points. Kentucky never freaking ran a play during the four quarters from the other side of the field of Texas A&M. So does that bode well for South Carolina this weekend? I don't know, but I'm not sure I've ever seen a game like that, which, you go to overtime yet. You know, I've heard of games where a team never moves the ball across midfield, but you don't hear about it going 14-14 into overtime, no doubt about it. So that by far the strangest stat from this past college football weekend, no doubt. All right, you got Major League Baseball coming up here just a little bit. You can catch the Red Sox at the Yankees. You can hear that in a little bit here on ESPN Upstate after Tiger Calls with Dabo Swinney takes place from 7 to 8 p.m. But it is an elimination game for the New York Yankees. They were beaten 16-1 last night. That is the Yankees' worst loss ever in postseason play. And, of course, that is the Red Sox' biggest win in postseason play, and that was the first time that they had returned to Yankee Stadium since 2004 when, of course, you know, they got themselves off the mat there in the American League Championship Series. They trailed 3-0, came back and won 4 straight, then moved on and won 4 consecutive games against the St. Louis Cardinals. So it's not winner take all, but it is a must-win situation for the New York Yankees tonight as you know, that's what we're waiting on. You know, we can get into our National League Championship Series now. We know it's going to be the L.A. Dodgers and the Milwaukee Brewers, and I have no problem with it whatsoever. Those two teams played as well as anybody as they closed out the season this year. So no problems on the National League end of things. American League, the Houston Astros were the best team. And guess what? They have already swept out the Cleveland Indians that won their division by 15 games. Now they wait on the winner of Boston and New York. And I know this is going to make Delvin sick to his stomach and a few other of our listeners, but the reality is if you want the best playing the best, and the Yankees are one of the best, you want Boston to win this series because Houston has closed it up the season as well as anybody. And, of course, Boston has played the best baseball in Major League Baseball for the season. So, again, you want to see Boston advance, but you never know when you play a team that has as much tradition and is storied as the New York Yankees. But game number 4 coming up later on tonight, and you can hear that right here on ESPN Upstate. All right, a couple other things I take away as you get ready for next week. Homecoming over on the campus of Clemson University. Number 20 NC State coming to town. The Wolfpack are 5-0 for the first time since 2002. Now, they're off this week as well, so they should be good and healthy should Dave Doran's Wolfpack team there for that trip to number 4 Clemson in a couple of weeks. So South Carolina, they are in action this week at home. That's a 3:30 kickoff with Texas A&M. And, of course, Texas A&M, we brought you the deep dive earlier, and they're 4-2 and poised for a big season. So tomorrow I'll be back here at Smoke on the Water. Like we said, Thursday we're just going to let Mother Nature make a little decision if we're going to be here or in studio. But pay attention. I know everybody got a little bit burned out after the Weather Channel's coverage of Hurricane Florence a few weeks ago. But this one, and Michael, it is getting more intense as it approaches shore, and it is moving fast, and it looks like it will be moving right up through the state of South Carolina on Thursday, so just be prepared. And we hope it goes well for everybody. Expect rain tomorrow, but expect it to be worse on Thursday. Diesel, I'll see you for the second half of the App State Arkansas State game later on, but in the meantime, we hope all of you have a blessed evening. We'll do it again tomorrow at 4 p.m. for Straight Up with Sturge.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.